We are doing something that we've never done before, which is turning our State of the Church into 2 weeks. And there's a reason for that. Can you give me that watch there, too? The reason is that last year we tried to do the State of the Church in 1 week, and it went just desperately long, and we don't want to do that again. So we broke it up this year. And, you know, we talk about a lot of... Well, if you were here last week, we talked about a lot of statistics, a lot of, you know, things that are going on at the church where we're at financially. We talked about just all kinds of things. And the point of it, the point of the State of the Church is really two things. One, it's just to pass on information. You know, the church is there's so many different words that God uses to describe the church. It's a family, it's a body, it's a community, it's a flock, it's an army. And so it's good for us to all know what's going on. And so it's a chance once a year just to talk about that. But even more so, what I've been praying for last week and this week is that all of us would leave here excited to be part of something that God is doing. We have a chance as Christians to join God in his work. We have a chance in our life to walk side by side with God. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And we believe that, and that God is leading us, all of us, to be with him in the work that he's doing. And so much of that happens. He uses the local church in so many ways. So my prayer is at the point of this, as we talk about all the things that we're doing, all the things that are going on here, is that you would get excited to be engaged in something that God is doing. Be excited to get involved in what God is doing. God uses all kinds of churches, all kinds of people. This is just one, but God is using this church, this group of people, and we just want to get excited about that. So that's the whole point of this. So today, in the second part of our State of the Church, here's what we're going to talk about. Justin and I are going to spend a few minutes talking about our vision and our mission. What are we doing as a church? And then after that, Mark is going to come up and talk about missions, which is a little bit different. Missions is more going outside of these walls, all right? So Justin and I are going to spend just a little bit of time talking about what is the vision and the mission of Cedar Creek. And to preface it, I'm just going to say that a couple of years ago, if you remember, we as a church took it on ourselves to kind of look at our core values. That was probably in 2019 or 20, I believe.
Yeah.
You folks remember that? We kind of looked at our core values, thought, are these still our core values? They had been written many, many years ago. And so we just looked at them and thought, is this still what we really, you know, think are the things that are very important to us? We reworked them a little bit, and then we spent probably 4 or 5 weeks talking about them on Sunday mornings. We did that a few years back, and it was good, I think, to kind of look at, all right, these are the things that we've forever said are important to us. Are they still? Is that still what we feel that our core values are? And so that process happened a few years ago. Well, last year, in 2022, we did the same process, but with our vision statement, our mission statement. It was written many, many, many years ago, and so we just looked at it and thought, is this still our vision? Is this still our mission here at Cedar Creek? Yes, no. Should it be something different? Should it be tweaked? We just thought, let's just take a look at that. So that's what we did. And so early on in the year, we pulled it out and we looked at it. Now, this first slide is our old... This has always been our vision statement, or I guess our mission statement. I get confused between mission and vision, and depending on who you talk to, they have different definitions. We'll define them for Justin's sake. Justin loves definitions, so we're going to define them here in a minute. But for years and years and years, our mission statement at Cedar Creek was win, build, send. And there was more to it than that, and if you look on our website, actually, ccreek.org, and you go under our about section, you can see our current... Well, this mission statement is still there. Win, build, send. And in simple terms, the win is share the gospel, the good news that Christ came to pay the penalty for the sins of the world. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins because God loves us, wants us to be with him. And that's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the core of Christianity. And so a big part of what we want to do as a church is to be saying that, speaking that, getting that message out. The second word there is build. And that means build us individually. God compares when we hear the gospel, and if we accept the gospel, he says it's like you're born again. It's like you become this new creation, he says in the Bible. But he also says you become a new creation kind of like a new baby is born into the world physically. And so spiritually, we kind of start off young and immature. And as we grow, as we live our life with Jesus, we become more godly. Our character grows. We become more and more and more like Jesus, more and more mature spiritually, and that's the building part. And then the sending part is, in essence, repeating that process. Now we're going to go outside of the walls here. Maybe we're going to go plant a church. Maybe we're going to do something where we're sending people out into the mission field to kind of see that win-build process happen again somewhere else in another way. For years and years and years, that was our mission statement. It's a good mission statement. But again, we thought, you know, it's always good to take a look at things and to rethink them. So that's what we did early in the year. I spent a fair amount of time rewriting that mission statement. Kind of not that anything in there was wrong or bad or anything in there was something we didn't want to do, but I was just reworking it a little bit and kind of adding different things into it, and it was a fun process for me, and I came up with an entirely different mission statement that incorporated all of those things, but with some different twists and some different ways. When I finished that, Mark and Justin and I thought, well, we should show this to some other people. So if you were here last week, we talked about the advisory council. If you remember, there's a group of people in the church that we as the pastors meet with regularly when we're doing something, and we just get their input on what we're doing. So I took it to the advisory council. I took this new mission statement that I had kind of written and showed it to the advisory council. Who is here who is on the advisory council? It was a really good time. And what they did, I think we spent two meetings talking about that, two different times. And in essence, what they said is, you might want to rethink that. Your new mission statement, I'm not so sure about that, is what the advisory council said. And that was good feedback. And what they suggested is maybe what you want to do, pastors, is get a group of people together to go through that process with you. I'd kind of done it myself, and Mark and Justin and I had kind of done it. But they said, maybe instead you should start over and go through this chewing on your mission statement with a group of people from the church. So that's what we did. We put together a task force. I called it the Vision Task Force. And it was these people here. Jenny Rico. Jenny, are you in here? Jenny back there. Kevin Bryant, he's there. Tony Manzella. Tony, you here somewhere? Tony. Camille Hedrington. She's not here, and Eric Wanicki. I know I saw Eric somewhere. There he is right there. So those five people, and we also invited Matt Novacek and Brad Blomberg to sit in. We spent last year, we met probably four, perhaps five times, and we spent a lot of time talking about vision and mission. What is a vision statement? What is a mission statement? What do we do well as a church? What do we not do well as a church? What are things we've done in the past? What are things that we feel like we'd like to do? What is the community that we live in like? It was really good. We talked about all kinds of things, just kind of trying to think about what is this church's, what is Cedar Creek's goal? Why are we here? What should we be spending our time on? It was an extremely helpful for me and great time to really chew on this stuff. As a result of that, we came up with a vision statement and a mission statement, and I want to just share those right now. Here is our vision statement. And the vision statement answers the question, why do we do church at all? It's perhaps the most basic question. Why are we even here? Why do we spend Sunday morning all these times doing this and not something else? Why church at all? What is our big undergirding vision. What are we doing? And it's this: to love, honor, and obey the God of the Bible together. And that's I like that. It's a concise statement, but the blue underneath there kind of fleshes that out a little bit. And that's this: there's a God. We believe that there is a God. There is a God who is real. We believe that that God is revealed in the Bible. There's all kinds of people who believe in some kind of God, or they make up their own God, or they take what they like from this or that. We don't do that. We believe that the God that we serve revealed himself in the Bible. And so we believe in the God that we see in the Bible. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and so much of that is about God revealing himself to us. So there's a God, and that God is revealed in the Bible. We then, as people, are called to respond to that God. This God is not just far away. He interacts with us, and we have a response. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility. We have a relationship with him, and here's what it is. We're called to love, honor, and obey him. But we don't do it by ourselves. We don't do it out somewhere else. We do it in community with each other. So our vision at Cedar Creek, why we're doing this at all, is to love, honor, and obey the God of the Bible together. I like that. That came out of that conversation. So that's our vision statement. Why church? Then we have a mission statement. And our mission statement answers the question, okay, what do we do? That's why we exist, but what do we do? What actually happens here? And here is what we came up with, and it's going to look familiar. Win. That's one that we had before. We will share the good news that Christ has paid the penalty for our sins and that all can accept this free gift of salvation. It's the gospel again, just the same as the old one. In that verse there, Colossians 1:28 says, "We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." What do? Well, we share the gospel. We talk about the gospel. We seek to win souls to Christ. The second part of our vision or our mission statement is build, which is what we talked about before. We'll strive to grow in Christian maturity. Each one of us, if we accept Christ and we become that new creation, well, then we have a lifetime of growing more mature spiritually. The verse in Ephesians 4, it says, "To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Together, we grow in maturity. Together, we become more and more Christ-like." So that's the second part of our mission statement, to build. And the third part, anyone want to guess? Send. Send. We'll speak and live out our faith in all arenas of life, looking for opportunities to love and influence the world around us. And Matthew 28:19 is the Great Commission. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's our mission statement. This is what we do as a church. We do those three things. And it's interesting that when we worked through the process, we came back to the same thing that we'd had for years and years and years. Which was good. That's a good process to go through. In that booklet that you have there, we also put in the core values, because the core values, and again, we'd gone through those before, but the core values answer a different question: how do we do it? Okay, the vision is why are we here at all. The mission is what do we do. The core values kind of dictate how we do it. There's different ways to do that winning, building, and sending. We have a personality as a church, just like people have personalities, churches do as well. These are the things we're not going to spend a lot of time on, but these are our core values: a growing relationship with God, the Great Commission, the local church, and strong families. And there are different things under there. You can read that in your book. We've talked about that in the past, and we'll talk about it again. But our core values answer the question of how do we do it. So that's the process that we went through this past year, and that's the vision and the mission statement that we came up with. But there is another step to that. There's another question that has to be answered, and that's implementation. And it's looking at, all right, the things that we're doing, are they helping us to accomplish our vision and our mission? The things that we're doing, are they fitting into our core values? And so I'm going to turn it over to Justin, And he is an engineer and has some fun diagrams for you.
It's not true. I'm not an engineer. Chemist, but...
whatever.
A little different.
Chemist, engineer, whatever.
So I had the privilege of looking at what ministries do we have, what services do we provide here at the church, and I got all excited because I got to make a Venn diagram. So,
see, I told you. What did I tell you?
So Tommy's got a Venn diagram here, and what you'll see listed here, it's a little hard to read. I put some of our ministries and some of the functions that we provide as a church on this Venn diagram and clumped them under win, build, and send. And I'll admit there was a bit of difficulty here in assigning what goes where. Because if you look at some things like Sunday school, for instance, it's a very good ministry that we're doing on a regular basis every week of the year. And we're seeing kids come in who may or may not know the Lord, and so they're being won for the Lord. They're being built up in the Lord, being taught things in the scriptures. And then you could even move it to that middle section because some of those kids are going out into the world. Most of those kids have friends who aren't here in the church. So they're also being sent. So picking where all of these ministries went was a little bit difficult. But here I just want to highlight a few things that we're doing. Last week we said we were going to talk a little bit about some of the ministries we do here at Cedar Creek, and you see a lot of them listed here. And if you were to lump them together, you'd probably notice that a great deal of them are focused on our children. We have a booming children ministry here on Sunday or on Wednesday nights at Awana. We have, is it over 70 kids? Yeah, it's over 70 children running around this building here at the Awana program where they're learning about the Lord. They're learning how to apply scripture and biblical truths to their lives. It's just an electric place to be. So if you guys are ever interested, come on down on a Wednesday night and check out all the energy that's going on here. We have a youth group. We have youth groups. We now have a high school group. So we have middle school and high school that are meeting twice a month, getting together, and that's the same function. It's winning people to the Lord. It's building them up in the Lord and helping them develop a biblical worldview, and then sending them out. Some of those kids are in public school. Some of those kids have friends in different sports and whatnot that they can be a witness to. So we have children's ministries, mom's group. They meet sometimes here and sometimes out in the community, and I don't know quite how many, but I've heard there's sometimes like 40 or 50 little kids, like four and under, running around in this sanctuary playing, and so that's an opportunity to bring moms into the church and learn about what we're doing here and be ministered to. So we have a lot of things going on for the kids. We also have a lot of events that happen yearly. We are this year doing a parenting conference. Last year we did a marriage conference. Core weekends are something that we did all last year. We're going to do again twice this year. It's where we get together with our sister churches and we talk about some of the core things we believe in, the core values that we'll go through. Fusion Conference is excellent. It's an annual conference where you go to the Dells, the Kalahari, and I'll give a little plug for it. This year was the best year we've had so far. There's child care for 5 and under available throughout the entire thing. And then there are seminars aimed at adults, but simultaneously there are seminars aimed at 5 to 12-year-olds. And then there's also seminars aimed at 12 to 19, 20-year-olds. So they've really done a great job incorporating something for every single age group and every demographic in the church. But so we do all of this stuff, and what our goal is to ensure our value, our vision statement, our mission statement, and our core values are being carried out and implemented through those things. And so you see, we don't have anything that's necessarily dedicated to winning, but we do have stuff dedicated perhaps to building and to sending, or maybe I should lump them in a different area. But our goal is to evaluate this year our calendar and all the things that we're doing and say, okay, here's how they're fulfilling our vision, our mission, our core values, and whatnot. So that's going to help us as pastors know what we should be doing and we aren't, and what we are doing and is fulfilling our mission. So that is really, I think, quite good.
Yes, and so we're going to, in 2023 now, take that next step, and we're going to ask the question, well, how do we implement our vision, our mission, along the lines of our core values? And what we're going to do is just try to get as practical as we can and look at the activities of the church, like all those things that Justin had on that Venn diagram. We'd like to look at that and say, okay, all of these things, are they things that are helping us toward our vision and mission? do we need to tweak them? Are there things we're not doing that we should do? Are there some things that we're doing that maybe, okay, you know, that's a great thing, but it's not really pushing us in the direction of our vision and mission or along our core values? We really want to take this year and look at our activities so that we can implement what we feel like God is calling us to do. So how we're going to do that is we're going to follow probably a very similar pattern to what we did last year when we went through our vision and our mission statement. We're going to take this. Justin and I and Mark have started already to look at our activities at church and try to figure out what we're doing and where they might fit. We're going to take all of that, and we're going to get the advisory council together here in the next month or so and have them look at it. Have them give us their counsel on that. What do you think about this? What are the things that, you know, here's what we're doing now. How do you think that fits in? Are those good things? We need to tweak that. Are there things we're not doing at all that we want to add in? It's very possible that from that advisory council meeting or meetings, we will convene another task force, an implementation task force, to spend some time with us and really talk about that, to get input from all of us because you know, so much of the life of the church, well, all of the life of the church is lived out. All of us live it, not just the pastors. And so when we all speak into that, it's going to help us, I think. So in 2023, we're going to be spending time looking at the calendar, looking at our church activities. Couple of quick things about that before we turn it over to Mark. Number one, if you have input about any of this, we really, truly want to hear it. If you have thoughts about our church calendar, if you have questions about the vision and mission and the core values, it's all there in those green booklets that you have. I'd encourage you to grab one and take it with you. Look at them. If you have questions about that, ask us. If you have input for us, please, please, please come and tell us, because really, We really, truly do this together. We're in this together. Second thing is, when Mark is done, we are going to have time for questions and answers. We will today. So if there's something that we've said that you have a question about, hang on to it. We're going to have time to answer those questions later. Okay? We're going to invite Mark up. We're going to shift gears just a little bit. And Mark is going to talk about missions. Not mission, missions.
All right. Well, good. Been looking forward to this. We last week I talked about finances and shared where we have deployed some financial resources for mission activities outside of our local context. And I said that we would provide some more detail today. And just a little background, in the past, prior to 2 years ago, we supported many of these missionaries through our association of churches. And so it was kind of secondhand. And our association of churches redid the way we operated. And so now we do that firsthand. So we recruited a mission group, and that's Lana Fila, Sarah Spencer. Sarah, are you in the room? Sarah? And Don Breedle, who's not here this morning. But they looked at a variety of mission opportunities to support and made recommendations to our Board of Trustees. And so for the last 2 years, we've been supporting that list of missionaries that we looked at last week. And so today, So that group of three gathered some updates from our supported missionaries, and so I get the privilege of sharing some of that information. And three of the individuals sent us videos, and so we have three short videos that will intersperse through the process here, but. First of all, I wanted to share just quickly, you know, as I was looking at and considering what these missionaries do, whether it be Mexico or Nepal or Eau Claire, I thought, oh, what am I doing? You know, you can start to feel kind of small and inactive. And I thought, you know, as a church, we provide finances for them, provide the resources. because all these efforts require resources. And Tommy, go to that first slide. I wanted to share two passages, one in Philippians 4. And Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he says, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I've received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received the gifts you sent. We are blessed when we give. We are blessed when we give. And then the second passage that I thought was really significant was in 3 John, not a book we see, a little bitty book at almost the tail end of the New Testament. And John wrote, "Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." So John was writing to these folks, and they were helping out some evangelists that they didn't have a particular, you know, firsthand connection. "Strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church, you will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name." And like I said, these missionaries that we support, some are in South Asia, the Middle East, Mexico, and they've gone out for the sake of the name, for the sake of the gospel. And then John writes, "Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth." So we are fellow workers. As I share these things, we are fellow workers with what they're doing. So let's get started. Taking these in no particular order, but the first mission that we do support regularly is Hope Gospel. Ooh, that font is a little small. That brings me to many of the things I'm going to share are in a packet, some updates on paper that are back on the mission table just outside the back doors on the far wall in the foyer. So, oh, look at there. Magic. Hope Gospel. Many of you are familiar with Hope Gospel. They're increasingly well-respected ministry here in Eau Claire. They support those that struggle with addictions, homelessness. They've got a fine program of employment, and they've just expanded their short-term men's facility, and we've been able to assist them through that. That next slide, please. Just a few things. You know, 47,000 meals, 15,000 nights of safe shelter, tens of thousands of hours of employment, clothing donated, and education. They have a really complete program for the people that are needing that. And they are 25 years old this year. Hope Gospel has been in the community for 25 years, and we are privileged to help support that effort. Next one is Run Global. Run Global is a mission organization that Mike and Sue Cater began a number of years ago. They are working in South Asia. They were originally in India, had to leave the country and can't go back because of their evangelistic outreach. They are now, I believe, located in Nepal, but working in the various countries. And their effort really is evangelism and training their new Christians to be evangelists and disciplers. So we just have a short video from there. They now have Ryan, you'll see in this video, he is their stateside contact or rep, and so he provided us this short video.
Hello, my name is Ryan Stahl, and I'm the Operations Director with Run Global. On behalf of our President, Mike Cater, and our entire Run Global team, I want to personally thank you for supporting this great work that God is doing in South Asia. Without your support, this wouldn't be possible. We recently put together a short video highlighting some of the great things God is doing. I do hope you're encouraged by what you hear.
We are Run Global. Run Global is an evangelistic, disciple-making, church-planting movement in South Asia. RUN stands for Reach the Unreached Now. There are over 1.8 billion people in South Asia that have never heard the name of Jesus. These people are unreached. RUN Global aims to change the equation. We do this by working with local churches to train the body of Christ. We have disciples that make more disciples. We train our disciples in evangelism techniques so that they can be effective in reaching their nations for Christ. With these new converts, new churches are formed, discipleship is started, and the growth continues. Churches plant churches that plant more churches. Our team members and their disciples are reaching over 20,000 people each week with the gospel. And since our beginning in 2008, we have reached 10 million people, saved 100,000 souls, and started 1,000 churches. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Please join us as we reach the unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as we work to see the Great Commission fulfilled. So even though this video is recent, our statistics have already changed. Our team members and their disciples are reaching nearly 30,000 people each week with the gospel. If this trend continues and even increases, we'll easily reach 1.5 million people in 2023. Keep praying for this work. Keep praying for more workers. Keep praying for more team sites to be open. And keep praying for more partners like you that believe in reaching the unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
All right. So as you saw, there's a website there, runglobal.org. If you there is information on most of these ministries on the, the mission board right back there on the wall. The next one is a young woman, Amber Warren. She works with Reliant Mission and Great Commission Europe. She is currently in Köln, Germany, and reaching out primarily to the huge number of immigrants that have flooded into Western Europe in the last several years. And she's there working with alongside a German church in reaching those folks. And she has shared a short video as well.
Hi, Cedar Creek Community Church. My name is Ember, and I'm a missionary with Reliant Missions. I really appreciate all your church does to help me go and make disciples, so I'm thankful for the opportunity to give y'all a quick update. I'm just finishing up my second year working here in Cologne, Germany. I'm on a team of Americans that works alongside a local German church with the hope and purpose of reaching the unreached. Germany is unique in that since the refugee crisis of 2015, there are now 3.2 million people from unreached people groups currently living here. Unreached people groups are defined as a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians. Our team moved here to Germany to specifically have the opportunity to share the gospel with those who would have never had the opportunity to hear it in their home countries. And now I'd love to share two highlights from 2022. The first thing that God has greatly encouraged me in is a Bible study we have started with one of our friends, Andrew. Andrew is a Muslim, however, he's a very deep thinker and wants to know how Christianity and Islam are different. We have started meeting weekly where we read a chapter from John and then answer any questions Andrew may have. Sometimes Andrew even prepares a PowerPoint or handouts that he's printed out with research that he has been doing and asks our opinions about it and wants to compare Christianity and Islam, and he really wants to get down to the bottom of the questions about his faith. And it's really encouraging to me to see how seriously he takes this by even preparing PowerPoints, and I think he's very close to knowing Jesus soon, and we're praying that he does. This year, we also launched our first summer program. We went to visit four churches over 4 weeks in Berlin, Cologne, Dortmund, and Stockholm, and we trained them in our street evangelism methods, and then we went out and did a gospel push with them. As a team, over those 4 weeks, we were able to talk to over 300 people, and 60% of them were open to hearing a gospel presentation. That percentage surely surpassed my doubtful suspicions, being that we are in Europe. Thank you again for your support, Cedar Creek Community Church. With your help together, we are sharing the good news with all the world. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14.
It's interesting and encouraging that we're talking about individuals. And she talked about her highlights from the year. She talked about their friend Andrew, who's investigating Christianity versus what he's been exposed to up till then. So that's Ember Warren. I know we're just kind of rapid fire here, but we're just going to, we've got seven of these, and so we'll keep going. The next one is Feed My Lambs International. That's Gary and Minnie Sandman. Now, they are in Mexico, and I'm not going to try to pronounce where their ministry center is. Sarah, where? How do you say that?
Los Canelos.
Los Canelos. They have a ministry center there, and that's available to pastors, churches. They have weddings. They have baptisms. They open their ministry center to the Christians in that community. They lodge ministry team or short midterm mission teams. I know Spence and Sarah have been down there. If you want to get the firsthand report, talked with one of them. They've been down there a number of times, and they are reaching out in the community. They have just after, if you want to pray for them, just after Easter, is that at the ministry center or at the children's home, the teen camp? At the ministry center, they're having a teen camp. And teens in Mexico are a lot like teens here. There's a lot of energy, a lot of activity. And so they are working on behalf of the teens in that community. And then they also are doing some work at a children's home in another place in Mexico. And they're making progress. They're going down there in a few weeks to frame the inside walls for the second floor. And they have a website that's very nice. You get a real picture of their ministry, Feed My Lambs International. If you Google that, you come right up to their website. So they are carrying on there and doing good work in Mexico, and we're able to support them. The next one is Sacred City Church. Providence, Rhode Island. This is Jacob and Sasha Van Sickle, and they have been out in Rhode Island now a year and a half and are planting a church in Providence. And in a previous video, Jacob shared why Providence. It's a strategic northeast United States city. There's a number of universities and colleges. They're reaching out on campuses. And Jacob just last night sent us an updated video, which is really encouraging. So,
hi, Cedar Creek. This is Jacob Van Sickle, a church planner in Providence, Rhode Island. And I'm so thankful for your support over the last year and a half. It was, I believe, August of 2021 when I first visited you with my wife, Sasha, and our kids. And it's been a wild ride ever since. I think that was about a month after we had officially moved to Providence. And since then, we've gotten acclimated to the city as a family. We've gotten our team moved in and settled with new jobs and new homes. And, you know, just a completely different area of the country. We met in my backyard for a while, and that was bad. We shouldn't have even done that. And then we met in a friend's living room, and thankfully about 5 months ago we started meeting in a building publicly for the first time. And as a church, we've been publicly meeting for about 5 months. And we're so thankful that this next month, in March, we will have our first baptisms. One of the guys, his name is Nate. He's one of the best wrestlers, Division III in the nation. And he just found himself longing for something more. He had just won a national championship, and he had really everything that he ever wanted, and he was still empty. And some of our church members met him the first day of school, moving people in, and he got connected with them, started a Bible study with them, and professed Christ last fall. Another one of those guys, his name is Christian. He was invited by somebody else that we connected with, and he started coming to those living room services. And his life, I don't want to get into all the details, but his life was just in shambles. And we didn't know until months later he told us. And about right about that time, he also professed in Christ. And both of them are ready to take a step of obedience and baptism. You know, that's why we do it. You know, why even move across the country? Why even go through the hassle of starting a new church? We want to see people come to know Jesus. Now, we wouldn't be able to be here, and we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing if it wasn't for the support of Cedar Creek and people like you. There have been so many people that have been praying for our church, receiving the emails, just letting people know what's going on and praying. There have been so many people who have given financially, including your church, and so many people that have planned mission trips. And I'm so excited to have you guys come this August and visit us. And, you know, I'm just really stoked, and I think you guys are going to have an amazing time, and I think God will really do some amazing things. I'm not really good at this kind of stuff, so bear with me. Also, just thank you so much to Rob. He visited me, and he's been such an encouragement to me, and I know this is a video for all the church, but thank you, Rob, for calling and supporting and being a pastor, not just to your church, but to me. So thank you, Cedar Creek. Love you guys. I hope to visit sometime. I don't know when, but I would love to visit again. You guys are amazing.
All right. Yeah, he was referencing Rob. Rob went out to visit him this fall just to spend a couple days with him, encourage him. And again, he's talking about individuals. Talking about individuals, and that's what this is all about. This isn't about big organizations, you know. It's accomplishing big things in individuals' lives, and so we're thankful to be able to support him. And as he mentioned, we're going to schedule, and you'll be hearing more in the coming weeks about a trip out there late summer 2023. To come alongside them and assist them in their work there in Providence. All right, where are we? Sacred City Church. Pioneer Bible Translators. Amy with Pioneer Bible Translators is another missionary we support. She is in the Middle East. She is moved over mid-year in 2022. She's in the midst of language studies. This is a You know, as I've heard about her work, it's a slow process, learning language and translating the Bible into another language. That's a whole nother kind of mission, isn't it? It's long-term work. And so that's what she's up to. She's learning the local language, and there's a group of people, and there's no scriptures in their language. And she's and a team that she's working with are intent on translating the Bible into that language. And so she is, learning the language. She's continuing, she's building relationships, making connections. It hasn't all been easy. Her, among other things, her car caught fire, and she had to find another car. And so it's been challenging, but she is continuing on and moving ahead. So, again, she provided a little update, and it's, like I said, there's a little packet. It looks like this. It's really fancy. She and several other ministries provided an update. It's on the table back there if you'd like to grab one. I appreciate at the end of her, at the end of Amy's update, she asked if there were any ways she could be praying for Cedar Creek. So she has got a heart for us as well. All right. And then last but not least, More Rejoicing Ministries, Travis and Paula Barton. Now, they have a ministry that is in two places, St. Croix County, Wisconsin. They work with Hispanic folks there, primarily workers. They hold a Spanish service in Cumberland. They're building relationships with area farms and their workers. They go and visit. They're reaching out to that community in Cumberland. And then they also have a ministry on our southern border. And as Travis wrote in an update, the border is in disarray. He says I read that as it's in a mess. And there's challenges there. And they are reaching out. So they are, like I said, holding Spanish services in Cumberland, building relationships. They're using podcasts to reach out because that population that they're reaching out to in St. Croix County is hardworking. They sometimes don't get days off. They may not be able to come to church. They're providing outreach and discipleship by podcasts. They're being creative that way. And they've found that that connects to the border. There's connections between the folks living and working in St. Croix County and at the border. And so they have the Southern Border Ministry. They have a church that's being built up there. They're developing relationships, gaining a strong fellowship. They are having a conference in Chautauqua, at Camp Chautauqua, in February 24th and 25th. It's called the More Rejoicing Ministries Conference. There's if you're interested, there's a sheet on the mission table that's coming up in just a few weeks. And that is a local opportunity to learn more about their ministry. And I think at this point we'll stop the stream. There's that's who we support. That's the detail behind that list of ministries that we talked about last week. And it's so encouraging that we can come alongside. And like it said in 3 John, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. We are fellow workers with all of these ministries and these people that are seeking to make a difference. They are worthy of our finances and worthy of our prayers. So why don't we just quick pray before we invite Rob and Justin up for Q&A. Father, thank you for these men and women that are many far from home doing what you've called them to do. And we pray that you would provide for them. Pray that you would equip them. Pray that you would encourage them, whatever it is they need. Protect them. Give them the strength. Give them the enthusiasm they need. Pray for Gary and Minnie, the enthusiasm with those teens. Travis, for safety on the border. God, we thank you that you are sovereign and over all. And we are privileged to be able to assist them all in their work. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, well, I'm going to try not to fall, and we're going to open it up here. If people have questions about anything that we talked about today, we talked about our vision, our mission, our core values. We talked about the process we went through to kind of come up with some of that. We talked about what we're going to be doing this year in 2023, looking at the implementation. And we talked about all the different missionaries and mission activities that we as a church family support. So we just like to have some time here. If anyone has questions, this is the time to raise your hand and ask them, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Got one way in the back.
With your missions, how do you split it up, the percentage that goes to each mission? How is that done?
That was a there was a certain budget on a monthly basis, and then that mission committee recommended how it would be. It's pretty much even for the most part, but yeah.
Were you looking for specific numbers or just kind of how the decisions were made? Yeah, I think yeah. I think it's kind of close to even.
It's close.
It's close. The ones that were just starting out, we gave them a little bit of extra to help get started.
Yeah.
She said the ones that are just starting out got a little bit extra to help get them going.
And then there's a bit of a surplus beyond the monthly that then that committee can make recommendations through the year for special gifts and provisions. So that's a blessing as well.
Yes.
Do you keep collective numbers on how many mission outreaches we as a church have impacted?
You mean how many trips we've made or how many people have been impacted or... the question was, do we keep records or keep track of how many mission trips we've sent out, how many people have been impacted? Not really. I mean, as a church, we have done so many mission trips over the years. For quite a while, we would go to Central America every summer. Dave would lead medical missions down there. When we had the Edge, our college group, they went on a spring break mission trip every year for about 15 years or so. We've done many, many, many of them over the years, but we've never really charted them at all. That would be a good thing. Just a quick aside. Cedar Creek next year, 2024, will be our 50th anniversary as a church. The church was planted in 1974, and next year will be our 50th anniversary. And in those 50 years, I'm sure those are big numbers. The number of trips we've made and the number of people God has impacted. But no, we don't keep a specific record. Other questions? Well, we don't have to belabor this. Anyone? We'll give it another 10, 9. Yeah.
Yeah. For years, we sent money, like I say, second or third hand, and we were supporting the folks, but we didn't know who they were.
Can you repeat the question?
Oh, Randy was just glad that we have direct connection to these folks versus once removed or twice removed, and it is. And, it'd be great if we could have these folks come back every year, and visit us, because we had... Over the last year, we had Jacob was here, and I think Gary was here. Amy was here. And we'll take every opportunity we can to host them and see them face to face. But, that's not always possible. But it's great to have a video and see a face and hear a voice.
As a missionary mother, I will tell you I appreciate the church support.
Yeah. It's Amy's mom, and Dad Steve is out there peering through the window. There he is. So,
any last questions?
Yes, sir.
What is the background of Hope Gospel? What do they do?
They have short term.
What's the background for the audio, what's the background of Hope Gospel and what do they do?
What do they do? Yeah. Hope Gospel is a local organization that provides short-term place for those who are homeless, but primarily those that are addicted in need of recovery, training, job training. They have the Bargain Center, they in Eau Claire and Mondovi and some other places, so they have a donation and sales, and they have, I think it's an 18-month program, of training and education. They're pretty well rounded. I mean, they cover all the bases.
And there's a men's side and there's a women's and children's side.
Yeah.
It was begun by a local businessman.
25 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
25 years ago. Local guy. He's had a heart for that and started, and it's grown over the years.
Yeah.
Yep. If you go all the way through the program, there are quite a bit of steps that you've taken to get a job by that point, to have a house. They work very hard to have living arrangements so that you're not just, okay, you know, you've been, you know, safe from drugs now for 18 months, great, but off you go. No, there's not just that time there, but they really do a wonderful job on trying to help people to be prepared to live well going forward. And that's one of the reasons that I think HOPE is so great is it really does try to give people preparation to live well for years and years and years to come.
Yeah, it's more than just a shelter from the cold, I mean, which is important, but it's something that gets folks beyond that and deals with the root issues.
Yeah. Yeah, Amy.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Several businesses. There's the Building Hope and the car lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Jim Myers, who's on our board of trustees, is on the Hope board as well.
Yeah. That's a great question. The question was, if people want to get more involved in, say, the missions or the mission team or the vision mission task force or the implementation task force, what do they do? Who do they contact? The easiest, best way is to come and talk to one of the three of us because we know who to send you to and how that's going to work out. And we would love it if you were interested in that. So please come and talk to us. Yeah, thanks, Kelsey.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about the mission team, the one that vets the various mission agencies and stuff, I'm sure Lana or Sarah or Donaby would love to talk to you.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe one, if we do have time for maybe one more question, if there is one. Otherwise, all right. Well, let's pray. And we will head out into the world. Thank you, Father, that you are working. Jesus, when you were here, you said we must work the works of him who sent us as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. Lord, we are still in the day when we can work. We can work with you, hand in hand with you, and shoulder to shoulder with each other. We can be involved in seeing the gospel go out right here in Eau Claire, in our neighborhoods, with our friends, at work. We can be involved in seeing the gospel go out across this state and across the world. We really can. We can help and see people grow. We can grow closer to you. We can grow in our relationship with you, Lord. We can grow in our spiritual maturity. That's right in front of all of us. And when we do it together, it's so good, Father. And we can help other people to do that as well. Lord, I'm grateful that we can live our lives hand in hand with you, doing what you're doing about our Father's business. And I'm grateful that we in this room and all the people in Cedar Creek, we really truly do it together. That is a blessing. That is a huge blessing. We long for purpose in our life. Well, God, you give it to us. You give it to us. We can wake up every morning, reach out our hand and take yours and say, where are we going today, Father? Help us to do that individually and help us to do it as a church family. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. Oh, yes, one more thing. Lana. Last day to help financially provide for building the house in the Dominican Republic. Okay, thanks for coming. We'll see you next Sunday.